open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3 for study number 15, please. This lesson or study is entitled 1 Timothy Study 15 - As I Besought Thee. Let us pray. Father, give us divine wisdom today. Touch our mind, our heart, our soul, and our tongue, God, for your glory and honor. Help us, Lord, to lift and exalt and magnify the word of God, and help some heart, some soul, some life as they listen today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, in our last study, which was study or lesson number 14, we finished our study of the first two verses of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. We'll now move on further into our studies into verse number 3. This will be study number 15. We hope you've been encouraged and enlightened from the Word of God through these 15-minute audio commentaries. We trust these lessons have encouraged you to study more than ever before you've ever done before, and learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For a set of what we have available on USB thumb drives, please write to Pastor Dennis Deals, 1743 Robertson Loop Road, Clarksville, Georgia, 30523. These are free upon request. In this first epistle, remember, Paul is writing to the young Timothy and trying to instruct him in the proper affairs of the church. This third verse has to do with instructions for Timothy from Paul. Paul is going back to the past for a moment. He's reminiscing and reminding Timothy of when he had besought or begged him to abide at Ephesus in days gone by. And we want to kind of give you this and break it down into three specific things out of this third verse. These three things are, first of all, there is the request to Timothy from the apostle. And number two, there's the information of where Paul was going. And then number three, Paul gives the charge of Timothy to give to the people that they might understand and hear from the man of God. Now, we can also give you a four-point outline out of this third verse. We'll find Paul's demand of Timothy. And we'll see that in the scripture. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. And then we can find not only Paul's demand of Timothy, but we find Paul's decision to go to Macedonia. And you'll see that where he said, when I went into Macedonia. And then we find Paul's direction to Timothy. And that's found in that scripture where it says that thou mightest charge some. You see that in verse 3 here. And then the fourth point, you can preach on and study and teach Paul's duty for the people. And that duty for the people was that they teach no other doctrine. Now let's look at the request today of Timothy, or to Timothy, that Paul's give him. Remember, this is a church manual. 1 Timothy is one of the church manuals. There's three of them, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. It's a church manual or operator's manual for Timothy to use in his ministry. Now I can see in my mind's eye somehow how that Timothy would often look maybe at this letter and remember what Paul had told him. And after, Paul's passed off the scene and he's got the task of pastoring now, Timothy's looking back at this letter and words of instruction. I can somehow see Timothy also reading over and over and over again this letter he's been given. I believe he held it dear to his heart. Even years after the apostle had gone to glory, I believe Timothy no doubt would glance and glean over this letter and try to determine how Paul would conduct himself in the same situations that Timothy was finding himself in day by day. Now, the word besought in that third verse means to beseech. It means to exhort. It means to entreat. It means to beg, to instruct, to compel, to plead with, etc. And I believe you can see that in here. We'll see Paul's doing exactly that. Paul is in charge and is instructing the young Timothy to do something. And we're going to get that in just a minute, what it is or during this lesson. In this case, it's to abide at Ephesus while he went to Macedonia. This is the first instruction in 1 Timothy, that Paul is given. And there's many, many more instructions in this book. And we'll get them as we come to them. Paul and Timothy had a very close relationship. They were very, very close. And I say very close. Paul, as I've stated before, was the spiritual father of Timothy. He had won him to the Lord. He had brought him to Christ. He had showed him how to get saved, taught him the things of God. Every Christian will have a stronger love for those who've won them to the Lord and brought them to Christ. I'll guarantee you that today. That and it brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ and witnessed to you has a special place in your heart. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a preacher, whether it be a family member or just a friend, that brought you to the Lord Jesus, they'll hold a special place in your heart to the day you die. They'll have more influence on you than anybody else. You'll feel indebted to them as long as you both are alive. And after death separates you, what'll happen is you'll keep on going on. And they'll be in your mind the rest of your life and vice versa. So I want you to know, you'll never forget what they told you and what they taught you. Their fellowship will be well remembered for ages. The same is true of those you win to the Lord. They will be special to you. They will be your own spiritual son or daughter in the faith, just like Timothy was of the Apostle Paul. Many have never won anyone to Christ. If you have not won anybody to the Lord, you just really don't know what you've missed. To know that God has given you the ability to point someone to the Lord and help snatch them out of the pits of hell is a great feeling. Praise be unto God. Have you ever won anybody to the Lord? I'm asking you a question. Have you ever really won somebody to the Lord? Do you even desire to win somebody to the Lord? Have you ever asked God to help you win somebody to the Lord? God wants to save, and God will give you the strength and the grace to help win somebody. Just call on Him and ask Him. Now, a Christian who's never won anybody to the Lord is like a couple who have been married for some years and years and never had or maybe been able to have children. Their relationship with each other may be great, but the absence of children has not made the marriage complete. Amen. A husband and a wife will make a marriage, but it will take children in the marriage to make a home. And God established the home. Likewise, God has placed us in the church today to bear children for the Lord. And I'm talking about born-again believers. That's what His children are, or who His children are. If we do not win any to the Lord, the church is not complete. If you have never led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you bow your head and call upon the Lord and ask Him to help you with this. I'll tell you, He'll do it. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30, God said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." So it's important to know and to win souls to the Lord. It's a fact that we love our children as a result of our marriage more than we love any other children. They are the fruit of our loins, and they're given to us from God above. We'll desire to raise them, feed them, clothe them, teach them, and train them more than any others in our life because they're ours, and because we have an obligation to them, and because we have responsibility to them, and because we love them from the depth of our heart. This is why Paul had to plead with Timothy to stay at Ephesus while he went to Macedonia. Psalms chapter 127 in verses 3 through 5 said, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now, the reason Paul had to beg or plead with Timothy to stay at Ephesus while he went to Macedonia is because of this affinity or the bond that Paul and Timothy had. Timothy was used to being around Paul. And when Paul wanted to go to Macedonia, I'm sure Timothy wanted to go too. Amen, I'm sure of that. He did not want to be separated from Paul. I can understand this. I really can. There are some people who I've been able to win to the Lord that I have drawn close to as well, brother, down through the years. We've had a fellowship day after day with some, and it's a common thing to be around them. Their likes were my likes, and we had so much in common in the Word of God. Then God has moved me from one pastorate to another pastorate with many miles maybe in between, and there's been, some separation. This separation became a heartbreak and a sad time in our life. So I can feel the pain in Timothy as he's here and maybe wanting to go with the Apostle Paul. And also can feel the pain and the burden that maybe Paul had as well. I know why Paul had to plead with him to stay. The relationship and love for each other will not cease. It will just be hindered by distance. Amen. Now, I have many like that in my life. I've had them. I've been separated for years from some who are precious, close friends. Distance and years have separated us. They're still my sons and daughters in the faith, but we seldom have any correspondence anymore. They're doing what they can do for the Lord, where God has put them, and we're doing what we can do for the Lord, where God has put us. I would love to see them often, and more times than I do, but distance and time and age and sometimes health and strength keep us from doing so. Paul has given us a consolation in the Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said in verse 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And then he goes on to say, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." We find another example of this bondage between individuals and the Scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 18 in verse number 1. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Now these are actually, it's Jonathan and David, what we would call soulmates. Amen, if you would, in the Lord. David and Jonathan, neither one of them won each other to the Lord, but they were close friends. I have preacher friends like that, whom I have known for years, that I enjoy being around, and I have a strong love for them. Our own ministry has kept us apart. We don't get to fellowship with them, but at certain times in meetings and weddings and funerals and such and the like, and that only for a short time. I would love to fellowship with them more, but I'm limited and I can't do it. There's coming a day, though, when that will change, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Amen. And that, as a closing note, or a set of thoughts, maybe at closing time here, I'm sure you can think of some in the Lord that have been a blessing and a help and a desire for you to be around. You enjoyed their fellowship and their presence. That's a good thing. Amen. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you have such a love for the Lord Jesus Christ like this? Do you desire to be in His eternal presence on a 24/7 basis? Do you hate to be separated from Him while you're doing your daily chores and your activities? God tells us what kind of relationship we should have with the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 in the Old Testament. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." The first and great commandment is summed up in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. The Lord said, they said to him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We have a Bible reason why we should have an inseparable love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. And John said, we love him because he first loved us. We trust this lesson 15 has been a blessing, a help, a strength, an encouragement to your soul. I pray today for your soul and your life. God bless you till we meet again. Amen.